you should have custom landing pages on your website, or if not, an entire subdomain with your content in Spanish.
Hey gang, welcome back to this episode of the Dealer Playbook Podcast, live from NADA in Las Vegas. Sitting down with my pal, Ali Pinion. We're going to be talking about marketing segmentation, in particular, why you need to be thinking about the Hispanic marketplace. Stay tuned.
The car business is rapidly changing, and modern car dealers are meeting the demand. I'm Michael Cirillo, and together we'll explore the best strategies, ideas, and tools to create a thriving life in and out of the business. This is the Dealer Playbook.
All right, Ali, how are you?
I'm doing well.
Welcome to the Dealer Playbook. I'm great. We finally made this happen.
Yeah.
There are birds flying over our heads inside a building right now, and it's making
me a little
paranoid. Just every now and again, I see a little flutter over the tablecloth here, and it freaks me out.
I think they're, there they go, yeah.
We're going to be fine.
Totally.
We're going to be fine. These are all the outfits for the day. I've been excited about this. I want to talk to you in particular about your role as a marketing manager at Chastang Auto Group. But as we were talking pre-show and we're kind of collaborating a little bit, you're like, Hispanic marketing. And everyone at the table was like, oh, and we all naturally leaned into. So I'm gonna kick it off with a story. I remember I was writing my book, and one night my wife and I are sitting on the couch, and this commercial for Skechers sneakers comes on. And the whole concept was these were sneakers that would help tone your butt.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting on the couch watching this thinking, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. What a crappy idea.
And your wife?
My wife was being drawn into the TV screen like a mosquito to the blue light.
I remember those.
And it was...
Were they the ones that curved? Yes. And they're like, you just have to walk.
And it was like, tone your butt.
Yeah.
And she was all over it. And in that moment, I learned a valuable lesson about market segmentation.
Mm-hmm.
And why you need to have an appropriate message. Well, when it comes to dealerships, you were bringing up something pre-show about the importance of Hispanic marketing, the Hispanic marketplace. I'm curious, why, if such a big opportunity, are dealers not leaning in a little bit heavier into that market demographic?
Right. I believe that most of them don't know the language. They probably don't know where to start.
Yeah.
And it's something out of the box that they would feel uncomfortable doing because they don't know how to relay that message. Yeah. Correct. And then... maybe sometimes they think that they don't have the right paperwork to actually purchase a vehicle.
What do you mean by that?
So a lot of Hispanic people won't have like a social security number.
Oh, interesting.
Or maybe they just have a work visa.
Yeah.
And usually you have to have like an I-10 number or a passport to purchase.
Right.
Right. So maybe they feel like there isn't enough audience or like Hispanic people that actually have those paperwork.
Sure. Do you find though, despite that, do you find that like growing up Italian Portuguese in that household and that culture, one of the things I learned is that, well, sarcastically, Italians don't support each other. We do, but it's like a sarcastic joke.
Yeah.
But I find that especially the Hispanic community, they really group together and they go, hey, where did you buy? What did you do? Where are you going?
Yes.
And that word actually has a lot of authority through the community.
Totally.
So is that the opportunity then for a dealer to be like, well, here's all the topics we need to educate the market on then so that they know we do these things?
Yes. That is one of the... So Hispanic people do have word mouth.
Yeah.
Because they're in like all these communities and everybody always talks about like, oh, where'd you get that? And then, you know, they have a conversation about it, especially when they are at like family parties, family events. The other thing is like, this is your second or maybe their first biggest purchase that they'll be making. So having someone at the dealership that speaks Spanish is helpful.
Yeah.
And being able to market, like, let's say you have two or three salespeople that speak Spanish and they're bilingual, like advertising them, promoting them, you know, telling them like, hey, my name's Ali, yo hablo español, vengan a verme a Chastain Ford, you know, and then
I'm like, say more.
And then, but they'll be like, oh, they actually have people that will help me.
Right.
I don't have to go there with a translator.
No.
or I don't have to go there with my kid and have them translate for.
So you mean it's more than just putting a Google Translate widget on your website?
Right. And I did learn, fun fact, is that Spanish SEO does matter.
Okay, so there should actually be more content.
So there should be, so you should have custom landing pages on your website, or if not, an entire subdomain with your content in Spanish.
And I mean, like, it seems like such an easy first step. It's like, okay, A, what are the topics that need to be talked about? Like you brought up paperwork, identification, like what are the requirements, credit programs, like all of those sorts of things. And then to just find somebody who speaks the language and say, hey, can we pay you to translate all of this so we can get it on our website?
Yep.
Is that too far reaching? Is that a simple way to just get started?
I think it's a simple way to get started. And a lot of times you don't want to use Google Translate because it'll be too proper.
Yeah, no, trust me. I'm doing Duolingo right now and I'll look at Emer and I'll be like, so what does this mean? And he's like, we'd never say it that way.
Yeah.
Better than nothing, but you would never say that.
Yeah, like I'll use it to sound like, to make it sound professional, but I'm like, that's not right.
Is that a part of it? Like, I know, and I mean, it's kind of fitting, we're at NADA where everyone's like pushing on the premium proper, you know, language. But that's not how we all speak.
No.
Is that the same thing in Spanish? It's like, nobody talks like that.
Nobody talks like that.
So for SEO, probably still a better play to speak just everyday Spanish than try and make it all keyword stuffy sound.
Right, like big words.
From there, you brought up something that I think is really important that I want to emphasize. Nothing worse as a marketer than making a promise online that you can't fulfill in person.
Totally.
And you brought up, and I don't know if the audience caught this, so I want to circle back to it, that this idea of you need to have somebody in store or multiples of, if you're really going to lean into this market demo, you need to have people in store that speak the language.
Correct.
What was the phrase? It was Paisa?
Paisa. Paisa?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like mainly like your people. Like, mi paisa is like, you know, that's my person. Like, they're from the same country. Yeah. Our info. Yeah.
And to be able to greet them and see them and speak to them and and put their arm around them the way that they would expect so that they feel at home.
Exactly. And they feel like they could ask more questions and feel more comfortable with the purchase.
Does that add a layer of difficulty to hiring and vetting?
Yes.
What do you recommend there? What should we be thinking about to find the right people?
Well, I think it's hard to find a bilingual person. A, they got to know sales, preferably if they have experience.
Right.
And can they speak Spanish and English fluently?
Yeah. So it's not just, you need a double whammy. You need somebody who can take the whole sales process and then turn it into a different language.
Correct.
And a cultural language. Like, you know, it's not just speaking the language. It's knowing this process in a way that maps culturally. So the people don't make funny.
And different dialects.
I lived in the Philippines for a couple years. One of the things that I found was that Filipinos were so flattered at my attempt to speak the language, but would also not hesitate to point their finger and laugh. But it was like in an endearing way.
Right.
Does that float across all cultures? Or
I think it does.
Yeah. Like,
for example, my boyfriend, he's white.
Yeah.
He's a white man.
Yeah.
And I took him to Guatemala. He loved it. So we go and he's just like he did the app to learn Spanish.
Yeah.
And he did it for like 6 months. And then we get there and he's like trying to communicate and my parents are like helping him. And you could tell like other people, like their friends and stuff, they're like helping. They're trying to understand what he's saying. And so, but they just like embraced it. And then he had a couple of beers and all of a sudden he was fluent.
Hey, before we hop back into this episode of the Dealer Playbook, we got to give a shout out to today's sponsor, AutoFi. AutoFi helps progressive dealers like you sell smarter, not harder, on your dealership website and now in your showroom too. AutoFi solves the everyday problems dealers actually face, like bottlenecks at the sales desk, customer distrust, and decision overload. And their all-new showroom solution includes deal estimation, desking, lender routing, and an F&I menu, all in one powerful platform that bridges the gap between the CRM and DMS. Dealerships with AutoFi can manage the floor more efficiently, fast-track the yes, and make better lending decisions, enabling them to sell cars faster with higher satisfaction and more profit. In fact, deals with AutoFi take an average of 28 minutes from customer check-in to loan approval, and dealers are making $411 more back-end PVR per deal. Go to autofi.com/dealer playbook to learn more. That's autofi.com/dealer playbook and start selling smarter today. All right, let's hop back into this episode.
So I got to ask you this too, because, and boy, are we are walking on eggshell topics here.
We are.
But there's, hey, DPB gang, you know I love you, but you got to put your marketer hat on here, okay? No judging, just straight up marketing talk. What a lot of people don't know is that I'm an immigrant. This is apparently what Cirillos do.
Okay.
We immigrate. My dad came from Italy to Canada. My mom came from Portugal to Canada. I came from Canada to America. And my whole life I thought, well, America and Canada are basically the same place. Oh, nay, nay. They are not. You are, I am a legit immigrant. Had to start over.
Yeah.
Could not buy a car. Like, you know what I mean? Like, legit immigrant.
Yeah.
And so I'm not afraid to skirt around. Like, I don't feel like I need to skirt around the issue of, like, what do I need to do as an
immigrant? So then you already experienced the process.
I experienced it firsthand.
Yeah.
And how disjointed it is. And how, like, void of empathy it is.
Okay.
Because what made it unique for me is, well, I'm a white dude. So they automatically expected
that you had all your paperwork together.
Dude, I've bought 3 cars now since I've been in America. And every time I'm like, so how am I paying for this thing? Because the process is so different. In Canada, you cannot leave the dealership until there is proof of income, a void check where they're going to withdraw the payment from. The insurance adjuster has met you, brought plates, and put them on the vehicle. Like, you are not taking that car home.
Interesting.
Here, it's like, okay, great, enjoy your car. And they, like,
and they just like
the keys at you across it. But I can understand now your point about, no, we need to go above and beyond and produce information that answers, like, let our brains go as far as they can go to answer every last question. I've only been in the country for 3 months. I just think, like, if you brought up ITIN, right? The ITIN number.
It's like your social security number.
Right. Imagine if you're the dealership that educated them that they need that and that they can get it.
And I think a lot of them, so we skip the part of like educating them.
Yeah.
And my GSM, he's bilingual as well. And he's like, just put a message out there and be like, we accept ITIN numbers. And I'm like, great. But then I'm like, do they know what an ITIN number is? Or like, because I was like, I didn't know what an ITIN number was. So I learned that in the process. But I think like educating, and then I think it goes above and beyond besides just the Hispanic market. I think anybody, like if you put information on how to buy a car and the paperwork that you need, including like first time buyers.
Right.
Like when I was 19, I bought my first car and I had no idea what was happening. Like I didn't even know what GAP was.
Right.
And I was like, okay, thanks. And then they're like, you need $2,000 down. And I'm like, this is all my savings. Like, I had no idea. They probably took advantage of me. Knowing dealers.
That is a good point, because often what happens, I find, you tell me your thoughts. I'm curious. OEM program says, must have this information. And if you don't have this information, you don't get money back.
Right.
But also you can't say this or you can't say that. But it's like, but all of those things I can't say are the things I need to be telling people about. And so what happens is we just end up having these kind of blasé web experiences that can't really get to the heart of the matter. Like, because you just said other segments, you brought up other segments like first time buyer, recently divorced.
Like, yes.
There's so many segments out there. It's not just about Hispanic community or, you know, singling out any one community. It's
right.
What I'm picking up that you're saying here, Allie, is No, but what are the topics that each segment cares about, and how do we more effectively put that information in front of them so that we own the relationship?
Correct.
How do you quantify that, though? Because I find somebody in your position, I can only imagine you're feeling the pull of get us.
Where's my ROI?
Where's my ROI? So how do you...
All of these custom landing pages that you're working on, where's my ROI?
Yeah. So how do you navigate that? How do you maneuver that?
I think it's easy to navigate. Like if you get more Hispanic consumers through the door, right? If you're putting all your campaigns together into a Hispanic... But I think also is that not everything requires an ROI, right? Like your branding message, that's not an immediate ROI. But it is an ROI long term, because you're putting yourself out there in the community, you're putting yourself out there online, you're putting yourself out there like in front of people that might not be interested in buying a car, but maybe one day they need a car and they're like, oh yeah, Chastain was at such and such event and they were showing off their cars and now I need one. Or like Chastain has this really cool salesperson and he's so funny. Like one of my salespeople hit 6.5 million, not to brag, on TikTok. Not gonna brag, but it's just
not bragging, but just let that sink in for a minute.
But in that TikTok, he wasn't talking about cars. He wasn't talking about the dealership. It was a silly dance. And in the comment section was like, I will buy a car from that guy. Or like, can I come work there?
Interest.
And so now you're putting your culture that other people relate to or think it's funny, or they feel like they could trust that person because they've seen them so many times online. Just like you have, like, you know, you follow certain people online because then you feel like you know them.
Yeah.
And if they recommend something, you're like, oh yeah, I'm gonna try it out. Like, you know, I'll get it.
Yeah, I love what you're saying, because like I even think I haven't bought so many pairs of MeUndies because Conan O'Brien shouted it out. And that's, I don't even wear that kind of underwear. I just, because I like Conan O'Brien.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think we forget that, especially in automotive, where I feel like, and I want your opinion on this, but I feel like over the last 30 years, we've kind of been lied to. Mm-hmm. It started with websites. The whole website revolution was like, all you need is a website. You'll get more traffic, leads, and sales.
Yeah.
Oh, no, all you got to do is run digital ads, and then you'll get leads right away. And it's like, no, there's actually more to the whole marketing mix has not disappeared.
No,
now we're
it's
not deploying it because we think run ads, get lead, app build website or change website provider, get better conversions or whatever.
Right.
How do we help people understand it's not about the thing, it's about how you leverage the thing?
I think that's like more maybe like my sessions, right?
You're like, that's my job.
That's my job. I mean, that's like a loaded question. Like, how do you get people to understand it? Because if they don't get it, then it's more like an education.
Yeah.
Like, this is why, and like kind of showing them like what a marketing manager does.
Right.
And then to understand, like, just because you run Facebook, like example, I just had an epiphany. Like example, like if you're shopping online and you're looking for, I don't know, you're on Nike's website and you're looking at some shoes. And then you're like, oh, I'm not going to buy them right now. And then you go to like a different website, or you go to Instagram and you're scrolling on your Instagram. Guess what? Those pair of shoes that you're looking at are going to be on your feed. And then you think about it twice and you're like, oh yeah, I was looking at those. And then you like scroll more because mostly it's like a catalog, and then yep, you could scroll through. And then you're like, but I'm not going to get them. And then you go to like Amazon, and then they're like right there on Amazon. And then you buy them.
Well,
So what determines where do you attribute that sale?
Right.
And so there really isn't like,
I mean, that's
an answer, right?
Whatever ad agency uploaded your data to the Facebook algorithm and told you they sold all those vehicles from the ads they ran here.
Exactly. But like nobody like put, like they're like, oh yeah, I'm going to give it to Amazon, or I'm going to give it to...
Yeah, and I got to say, I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek because I think that's the most cockamamie thing ever, that somebody could take, to your point, 100% of the credit for selling the thing.
Like, right.
You've just outlined that there are multiple different touch points for that customer.
Correct.
And this goes back to what consumer thinks, like, oh my gosh, is the internet listening to me? Yeah, it is listening to you by what you're clicking on, what you're scrolling on. You know how many times, Allie, I've fallen asleep at night with like YouTube shorts? Like I'll wake up thinking I'm staring into the sun, but it's because I fell asleep mid-scroll or something like that. And now the algorithm thinks I love the thing that kept
whatever, yeah. Me.
And I'm like, no, I don't even want this. I don't like this.
And now the algorithm is just going to keep showing you those same videos.
Yeah, until I retrain it. And most people won't take the time.
But the normal, but because you know marketing, right? Like, you know about the algorithm.
Yeah.
Normal people will just be like.
The what?
And they're just scrolling. They don't even train the algorithm. They're just like.
Yeah.
Scrolling all over again.
And this comes full circle, I feel, to the original point you were making about the Hispanic community, which is it's not about the thing that sells the thing. It's the influence across
Correct.
The mix. It's like, how can we use word of mouth and our website and ads and past customers and to influence in a positive way the purchase decisions or the research decisions
right.
of net new people coming into the mix. For other marketing managers, marketing directors listening who are in a similar position as you.
One team marketing.
Yeah, that's right. Team one.
Team one.
How do you recommend managing all of that mix? Because
honestly, I don't have an answer.
You're like,
without working like 14-hour days
yeah.
or like something ridiculous,
yeah,
I don't have an answer.
What's the next phase then for automotive marketers in this industry?
To have a team.
Have a team.
Either they have a team or they partner up with local influencers.
Yeah, interesting. You're the second person today that has brought up local influencers. There must be something here. What do you mean by that? I want to get your thoughts. Like, what do you mean partner up with a local influencer to do what?
To talk about your service drive. Hey guys, Allie, like if I was an influencer, which I kind of am, but
low key.
but if I was an influencer, I would be like, hey guys, just came chassing forward and I went to the quick lane and it was quick. Took me 30 minutes, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
And I only paid and I got the works package. And it includes this, that, the other. And it only took me 30 minutes. And I was in and out. And they have a great lobby. Like, I was able to get some work done, video edit, whatever. And then I was on my way.
Yeah.
Or.
They even had a coffee.
They even had a coffee. Yeah.
Pouring the coffee, driving a donut. Yeah.
Right. Or they could talk about mobile service. Like, I'm at my house creating content. They came by and did my oil change. So, partnering up with, and then again, it goes back to like, who do you trust? And they have an audience that trusts them on their opinions. And somebody's probably going to be like, oh, let me go try it.
What I love about what you just described, though, is having the influencer participating in the process.
Correct.
Versus hiring the influencer to just do the same thing everybody feels the instinct right. to do. Hey, come on down to Chastig Ford, where we're going to...
A lot of people
yeah.
give, like if they hire talent to do a video for them,
yeah.
they give them a script. But if you hire an influencer, don't give them a script.
Interesting.
Because you want them to be authentic to their audience like they have been this entire time.
How do you get people comfortable though with that thought? Because everything is very scripted. It's like there's a pitch. No, you got to make sure you touch on that. How do you convince them that no, let that influencer do their thing?
I just say it. I'm like,
you just say it.
I'm like, let me do my job.
That's because you have a seat at the table.
I do.
Yeah.
And I'm super grateful. Yeah, because I know a lot of times not a lot of people have a seat at the table.
Yeah. Marketers need to have a seat at the table.
And marketers need to be part of the conversation most yeah. of the time.
Yeah. Well, this has been so much fun. This is something that I know our crew sitting at the table, we've been talking a lot about, like just this importance of getting deeper into community, being more involved. I love the thought process that you have, which is make promises online, fulfill those promises in person, educate your market segments appropriately.
Right.
Put your marketer hat on so nobody gets all judgy. I know the world we live in. And this last point, which I think is really important, is advocating for marketing managers to have a seat at the decision-making table, because so much of what you do is an area of influence on the direction that a dealership or a dealer group goes. So thank you. I'm super excited about this. Hey, if you're a marketing director or manager in automotive and you're listening to this episode, I would love to know, what would you add to this conversation? What points do you think we missed? What do you love that Ali said? I'd love your thoughts. You can message us on our social platforms. You can also leave us a review and let us know your thoughts anywhere you listen to this podcast, or send me an email, michael@thedealerplaybook.com. Before we wrap, how can those listening or watching get in touch with you and connect with you?
LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
That's it.
Ali Pinyon. Do they have to figure out how to put the N on?
There, I don't think there's an A in. Maybe there is. So, I don't know.
Ali Pin.
There is. There is an Ali
Pinyon. Ali Pinyon on LinkedIn.
Yeah, Ali Pinyon with the N on LinkedIn. And there's a couple emojis. I don't know.
Ali Pinyon from, you see the accent there?
Yeah. Love it.
Chastang Auto Group. Thanks so much for joining me on the Dealer Playbook Podcast.
Thank you.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Dealer Playbook Podcast. If you enjoyed tuning in, please subscribe, share, and hit that like button. You can also join us and the DPB community on social media. Check back next week for a new Dealer Playbook episode. Thanks so much for joining.